the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Hour number four of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and we've got a lot coming your way between now and 7 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, it'll be a full hour of the Producing the Facts podcast with Eric Kane, but Kaner will join us for a Tennessee practice report. That'll be a little bit later this hour. We also look forward to bringing you post-game reaction from Tennessee's loss to South Carolina, the Volunteers on Saturday, and the Lady Vols, their loss to Mississippi State yesterday. So we have all that and more. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Vince Ferrara, what is up for grabs this evening?
John Wilkerson, how about this? A pair of tickets to the recently announced Def Leppard and ZZ Top 2020 Vision Tour coming to Thompson Bowling Arena September 25th.
All you have to do, what a fantastic prize. All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. I thought, fantastic move and well-deserved. The NBA has said that it is now going to award the All-Star MVP as the Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP. Vince, there are three SEC schools that have produced All-Star Game MVPs in the NBA. Name the schools. What three SEC schools have produced an NBA All-Star MVP? 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. We start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Vince?
Doing well, Danny. Hope you are.
Yeah, I would be if I get this right. Three schools, huh?
Yes.
Let's go with Alabama, Georgia, and LSU.
You got one right. You finished strong.
Okay. Thank you.
Danny, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go next to Tom. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
All right. My first guess is LSU, and I'm thinking Tennessee, and then my third pick, Kentucky.
You got two right. You started strong. You finished strong.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Sure to appreciate it. We go next to JT. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, JT.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Let's go with LSU, Kentucky, and Florida.
You got two out of three correct. You started strong. JT, thank you very much. Have a great night. Let's go next to Lee. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Lee.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great. Let's go with LSU, Kentucky, and Auburn.
That's well done. And it's interesting. I think it revolves around just four total players that fall into that category. But, Lee, you are our winner. It's a fantastic prize. Vince, tell him what he's won.
A pair of tickets to the recently announced Def Leppard and ZZ Top 2020 Vision Tour that's coming to Thompson Bowling Arena September 25th. Tickets to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers go on sale this Friday, February 21st at 10 a.m. at KnoxvilleTickets.com/Def Leppard. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. Way to go, Lee. Hang on the line so we can get your prize information, and that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. As far as the actual winners, as it turns out, Kobe Bryant, again, very fitting that they name the award in his honor now, he shares the distinction with former LSU Tiger Bob Pettit as having been named All-Star Game MVP four different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shaquille O'Neal is a three-time All-Star Game MVP, so LSU accounts for seven. What I was surprised is that Kentucky, as it looks like, has produced just one, and that was more recently with Anthony Davis.
That's right. That is surprising with the volume of players they put in the NBA and have through the years. That is surprising.
And then who would be the third one? It's Auburn.
Yeah, that would be inside the NBA analyst, Mr. Charles Barkley.
That's right. Who, when you see him coming, you just feel terrible.
And who knows? Maybe he's there. I don't know if he's got a TNT assignment Saturday, but who knows? He shows up at Auburn sometimes, so maybe he will be there for Saturday's game.
That's a great point. But so the three schools in the Southeastern Conference that have produced future All-Star Game MVPs in the NBA, LSU, Kentucky, and Auburn. Again, congratulations to Lee. We appreciate everyone that played. We'll get a break. When we return, a practice report with Eric Kane. That's next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues with Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We can tell you that Kyle Busch has moved into the top spot in the Daytona 500. A little more than 50 laps remain in the race, which was delayed until a 4 o'clock start this afternoon. So Kyle Busch right now leading the way. I should have given some, at least one person or two, a heads up just in case they were recording it. But time now for a Tennessee practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we get to say hello to Eric Kane. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, doing well. Rick Barnes met with the media today at noon for his press conference that we carry right here on the Sports Animal every week on Sports 180. He touched on a number of things, but the looming question was what he thought about the charge that was called against Sean Fulkerson at the end of the ball game. And it's kind of interesting because the way Tennessee, you know, bailed itself out of that home victory to South Carolina about a month ago was Sean Fulkerson taking a charge. And as how fate would have it, he gets called against the charge on the road on Saturday. And so Rick Barnes at the time said that, you know, post-game that he thought it was a charge and that was one of many turnovers Sean Fulkerson just can't have in a ball game. And he kind of doubled down on that earlier today. He said, at the time I thought it was, and now I can also talk about a lot of other calls I didn't agree with. I thought that he spun, there was some contact there, but I thought the defender was there. So, again, that's what Rick Barnes thought about the charge that went against Tennessee and Sean Fulkerson at the end of the ball game. He touched on the health of both E. Pons and Josiah Jordan James. E. Pons is dealing with some tendonitis in his right knee. He hasn't done a whole lot of practice the last few times out on the practice court, but is very tough, and he comes through and has a solid day on Saturday, 13-7, 13.7 boards. Josiah Jordan James, Rick Barnes said, I thought for not doing anything the past few weeks, he was okay. He'll need to clean some things up the more he gets out there. He needs to be in better condition because, again, he's missed the last four games. But, again, he's been hurt all year as well. So that's what he had to say about the health status of both E. Pons and Josiah Jordan James. Essentially the thing he's most disappointed in is the turnover. Tennessee turned the basketball over 20 times against South Carolina. When you're on the road and you go to a place where the team has won 7 of the last 9 coming into the ball game, you can't afford to turn the ball over 20 times. Both teams were dreadful from the free throw line. Tennessee made 17 of 28. South Carolina made 19 of 13. Something that when you watch the game, you certainly picked up on. But when you look at the stat sheet, it just jumps out at you. Both teams rebounded the basketball fairly well. The Vols and the Gamecocks both got into double figures in offensive rebounds. South Carolina, however, turned 11 offensive rebounds into 12 second chance points. Tennessee turned 10 offensive rebounds into only 3. And so those are some things, the turnovers, not taking advantage of second opportunities, that when you're, again, on the road in a hostile environment and playing a team that's very, very hot right now, you've got to take advantage of those things. And Tennessee, unfortunately, was just not able to on Saturday night. So Rick Barnes touched on a number of things, but, again, the turnovers were the big disappointment for the head basketball coach here today.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question that that coach, you one, never have to really think what he's thinking, because he'll let you know. But a lot of frustration, not only with the turnovers, but also with the missed free throws. But I like the fact that he took a moment to stand up for his squad and say, when you take a look at all this team has been through, the fact that they've been so consistent in how they fought, he's got a great appreciation for that, doesn't he?
Yeah, it really does. You know, the question was asked, Tennessee, it's been a while since the team has won, consecutive games, and you'll have a nice win, you know, have a couple of losses, or you'll be hit or miss. And Rick Barnes kind of jumped up and took to his team's aid. Not that the question was in an attacking manner whatsoever, but Rick Barnes said, hey, if you look at where we are right now, you know, right after Christmas, we're a shell of what we are now. If you would have told me that we're still in the thick of things like we are right now, I'd be surprised, because we counted on having Lamonte Turner playing this year. We never counted on Jordan Bowden, unfortunately, having the roughest shooting year of his entire career. We expected Josiah Jordan James to be playing, you know, healthy this year, and he's not. He's missed the last four games, except for he came back in South Carolina, but missed the four games prior to that, and really before that, he's been playing hurt all year long. He said, I'd be surprised if you told us where we were right now with all those things going against him. Two guys were not on the opening night roster for Tennessee when they started the season, Santiago Vescovi and Irwis Plastich. So he said he's really, really proud of the guys where they are now and playing as consistent, as you pointed out, John, as they are right now, considering all those things have gone against them. And he said that, you know, right now we don't consider our freshmen young guys. We don't talk to them like they're young players anymore, because they've got the minutes under their belt now to where they're no longer freshmen. And so though Tennessee is kind of going through one of those years, it's certainly a regrouping year, playing a lot of youth, trying to figure itself out, still getting good play and still trying to play to the best of the abilities of the game plan. And Rick Barnes certainly happy about that from his crew.
Eric, what did you think of Rick Barnes being asked about Jordan Bowden and not really trying to seize them those moments late in ball games like we saw on Saturday?
Hey, he said it was interesting that it's almost like he has a mental block right now, and that's something that a lot of shooters go through. And he said as long as Jordan Bowden is continuing to do the things that we're coaching him to do and he's preparing the right way, he still needs to take those open shots. We're still trying to encourage him that when the shot's there, you've got to take it, because he said that, you know, he and the coaching staff all believe that they're going to start falling sooner or later. Surprised that his shots are not falling right now. But Jordan Bowden, he did credit him. Again, he said a couple of times today that it's unfortunate that he is having the worst shooting year of his career, and they didn't plan on that, but he's still playing at an elite level on defense. He's not letting that affect his defensive play, and he gave him a lot of credit for that, because especially when you look at some of the younger guys, you look at, you know, really a lot of other basketball players overall, you miss a free. He gave the example today. I forgot who he used. I think he might have said Kumwa, missing a free throw and then going back on defense the other way. That affects you. You have a quick foul. You have to be taken out of the ball game. Bowden has never allowed his offensive struggles to affect what he's doing, guarding the perimeter and guarding in the lane as well. So he gave Jordan Bowden a lot of credit, but he's still encouraging his senior to shoot when the shot is open, and he believes those are going to fall sooner or later.
As he talked about Vanderbilt, the team that Tennessee plays tomorrow night, he's got a lot of respect for Jerry Stackhouse and says that you can tell that Vanderbilt, every player they play, has gotten better from the first time these two teams met, hasn't he?
Yeah, he said, again, he sung the praises of Jerry Stackhouse. Vanderbilt coming off a tough loss on the road at Florida by nearly 20 over the weekend, but this team has 9 wins on the year. That one SEC victory a couple weeks ago, again, at the time against number one in the league and undefeated LSU. So that was a big thing. And he said it's obvious that this team is improving. Every single player on the roster has improved when you watch tape from the last time Tennessee squared off against Vanderbilt. And again, that's a credit to Jerry Stackhouse and his staff. And so he said they're making it hard on just about everybody. I mentioned Vanderbilt beating LSU. He also pointed out, that being Rick Barnes, that Vanderbilt had Kentucky down at half. That was, 2 weeks ago, and then Kentucky kind of pulled away there in the second half of that ball game. But Vanderbilt has improved, and so it's going to be a challenge. Vanderbilt's a team that's kind of, you know, I don't want to say peaking right now, but certainly playing as good as it has all season long, really the last 2 years, because it was in that conference losing streak for so long. But Rick Barnes saying this is not going to be a gimme game at all, but this is a game Tennessee desperately needs. Again, you look at games against South Carolina, games against Vanderbilt, something we talked about on the starting lineup the last couple of mornings. You got to take advantage of those, because, again, you've got two against Auburn. You've got a game against Florida, one more against Kentucky, one more against Arkansas. It's tough sledding for the Volunteers the rest of the way, so you need to get the game against Vanderbilt. You wish you would have had the one against South Carolina. Essentially, you need to take advantage of the ones that you got to get on that schedule. So a very complimentary of Vanderbilt, knows it's going to be a dogfight tomorrow night.
Any other news or notes?
That's it for today. Again, Rick Barnes met with the media earlier today. The audio is up on 99.1thesportsanimal.com. And he talked on a number of things, his team's performance against South Carolina, where he thinks the team is right now, and then previewed the Vanderbilt game that will air tomorrow night right here on The Sports Animal. Today's UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Eric, coming up after Sports Talk, it'll be producing the facts. What can we look forward to tonight?
Yeah, loaded show. Going to be from 7 to 8 o'clock tonight, a full hour. Going to talk about the Houston Astros sign-stealing mess that only seems to be getting worse and worse. It got really bad over the weekend when some key players stepped up and got in front of the microphone. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, seemed to step on his own toes yet again. So going to go over, kind of reset what's going on with that situation. Going to talk to Alex Abernathy of Newstalk 98.7 WOKI. Had a really nice thread on his Twitter account a couple weeks ago about speaking to collegiate baseball players around the country on sign stealing versus steroid using and the comparisons there for opposing pitchers. A really good conversation with Alex Abernathy. Going to get comments from our very own John Wilkerson about Tennessee's season opening victory on the diamond, a season opening sweep, and close the show out talking a little Tennessee football. So it's going to be a big show. Really excited about it. And that's coming up here in about 40 minutes right here on the Sports Animal.
We look forward to it, Eric. Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee practice report brought to you by Pools by Heritage.
Big time. John Wilkerson?
That's right. See, nice. You're supposed to promote the show with things that'll get people to listen as opposed to shove people to the side. But anyhow, why don't we go ahead and hear some comments from Rick Barnes. This is what he had to say after Tennessee fell on the road at South Carolina Saturday.
Again, hard-fought game, as you would expect. They finished it the way they wanted to, and we didn't. And in those situations, you can't turn the ball over. You got to get shots up, and we didn't do that. Then the last out-of-bounds play, when we knew they were going to foul, we had a play on it we didn't execute and put us in a situation where we had to miss a free throw. And we got it back in those situations. It's going to be a tough shot to get up there, but we gave ourselves a chance. But at the end, and we got a good basketball team. They're a good basketball team. I think we both have really improved immensely since we met in Knoxville. But it's a tough loss because we had the lead. Needed to make just one offensive play, and we didn't do it, and they did.
I think there were a few times in the final few minutes there where y'all were able to get a shot off during a possession with the lead. I mean, I know the guys you're playing clock to some at that point, but how disappointing is it to not even get a shot off?
I tell those guys that late game, you got to get a shot off. I don't care if it's a desperation heave, you got to get a shot off and maybe get lucky. And they went, they went zone, which again, we've got a good zone package, and we got the ball where we wanted, other than the time that Santiago tried to dribble. I don't know why Jordan Bowden, when they last played the game, if they want to take Santiago out, that's fine. I don't mind him at all lifting up behind. And Jordan Bowden should have kept the ball, to be quite honest with you, and made the play. But that's tough because, I think that we've become a better offensive team. And not to get a shot off is frustrating. Because that's all we talk about. We talk about special situations, late game situations like that. You have to get a shot off. And, you look at Folk, he had too many turnovers. He played his heart out, but he had six turnovers. And I think, two, three charges and a couple walks. And hard game played the way I think probably Frank and I both thought it would play. That coming down to last possession or last possessions and give them credit. They finished it better than we did.
Rick, Fulkerson scores at a career-high 25, and then there's that charge call at the end. What do you say to him after that, when that one call kind of swung?
It's not the charge, because I thought it was a clean charge. I did think that. Only thing, he got called for a goaltend. I'm curious to see when I see it myself, which I thought was a big play at the time. I don't know if it was or it wasn't. From where I was, I wasn't sure about it. And that frustrated him because he, and John does a lot, but he gets banged around a lot. He does that, and he the travels. The travels, the ones he's got. When he holds the ball too long like that, he turns it over. But 20 turnovers, and again, I don't want to take anything away from South Carolina. We had a bunch of them that we just did ourselves that they had nothing to do with.
When Jordan's dribbling out right there, what's the execution on that play?
We want to be a high ball screen, get downhill like we heard him throughout the game with that action, He, for whatever reason, he didn't. He dribbled straight to Santi and put Santi in a tough situation where, you know, Jordan's been in enough game there. If they want to take him out, he's got to go. He's got to make a play. And so when we gave it to Santi, he tried to split it, and he lost the ball. And we'd like to see Jordan wave him off and just him make the play.
Rick, you've kind of seen my Kozar develop over the last few years. Just what have you seen from him?
I love him. I told him that. I've enjoyed it. I don't know if we'll play against him again, but I've enjoyed competing against him as much as any player that we've in my time at Tennessee. I mean, he's just how much he's developed and how hard he works and how much he's stretched his game. And I know, you know, to me, he's turned into what I think of Frank wants from a player. You know, he's can take hard coaching, and he plays hard, but he's matured so much at so many different levels. And I just love what Frank's done with him, and I know he's taken his coaching, which I really admire.
Last one.
Coach, you said you feel like both these teams have gotten better since you played the first time. Where do you feel like you guys have made the most progress, and what can you do, you know, before the end of the season to kind of build on that?
Well, where I think we've made the most progress, honestly, Rob, is I think we've had a group of guys now that we feel like we're moving forward with. You know, we've had to start over, and you guys have been with us all year. You know, we've had so many different things. I think Santi is getting better. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, finally, I mean, today we had to go through it again. You know, Josiah hasn't played in 2 weeks, and trying to get the rotation the way we want it and what we need done, we got to do that. And for a guy that hadn't played in 2 weeks, he did okay. But I just hope we can get everybody healthy. You know, Eve struggled a little bit today. You know, he didn't practice for 2 days, but he had a couple of breakdowns that he normally doesn't have. But I just feel like we got guys that are understanding more what we've got to do and how we need to play. And so I think we are heading in the right direction. That doesn't mean it's going to get any easier, because it's not.
And so comments from Rick Barnes. Yeah, after Tennessee's loss at South Carolina.
Sorry, John. Yeah, you could tell that Epons wasn't right and didn't know it at the time. That today, Rick Barnes shared that he has been dealing with some knee tendonitis. So hopefully that's not something that will linger too much longer. I'm sure he's going to continue to get, you know, rest and skip some practices until he can get going. He's athletic enough to overcome that when he's back healthy. But, man, they need him to contribute. When Pons and Fulkerson are both good and active inside, it changes things for a lot of the offense. And to just have Fulkerson as your only post presence when Pons isn't on, that's really tough. So, you know, and then again, Jordan Bowden has really struggled, what, 15% from three-point range in SEC play. Want to see him. He has the ability to do it. Drive to the basket. He can split defenders. He can get there. I don't care if he's missed a couple of bunnies in the past. It's a higher percentage play for him because he can create for other guys when he gets there, collapse the defense, and make things happen, even if he's not getting all the way to the rim himself. That is, even though it hasn't been what he's done his entire career at Tennessee, I think right now that is the best recipe for this offense in the half court is Jordan Bowden getting to the paint.
Why don't we go ahead and turn this into a very quick look at the SEC. We'll call this an SEC notebook. It's brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. It's available at your favorite local bars and retailers. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Went into the weekend with a three-way tie. Kentucky, Auburn, and LSU. Kentucky found itself in a fight, but the Wildcats found a way to finish and walk away with a five-point win over Ole Miss. Snapped a three-game win streak for the Rebels, who all of a sudden playing a much better brand of basketball. Wasn't the case for Auburn, which lost on the road at Missouri, and LSU, which lost at Alabama. So right now it's Kentucky 10-2, a game in front of both Auburn and LSU. You have Florida and South Carolina that are tied for fourth, both at 8-4. Mississippi State is in sixth place with a record of 7-5 after a one-point win at Arkansas. And then you have three teams that are 500, Alabama, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. Volunteers have a win against the Crimson Tide, lost to the Aggies in terms of their matchup against those teams that they're sharing the line. And then you have three teams that are 4-8, Missouri, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. Georgia is in 13th place. Who would have thought that, with potentially the lottery pick, the top pick in the NBA draft, mm-hmm. playing for the Bulldogs and Anthony Edwards, but 2-10, just two conference wins, one of those against Tennessee, and then Vanderbilt, Tennessee's opponent tomorrow night, 1-11.
I don't. Has Georgia even won since the last time they beat Tennessee?
I don't believe they have. No, wait a minute. That was their first one.
That so was
they,
their first
they do
one.
Have
okay.
one win.
Right.
They have one win since then.
But 12-13 overall, 0-6 on the road. Just for whatever reason, the rest of that roster has not come through. Edwards, I think, was under the weather a little bit in their last game. But, you know, we mentioned Auburn. Auburn didn't have Isaac Okoro. They're a really talented freshman in that loss to Missouri. But you would think that they'd still be good enough at the top of the SEC that even without him, they should be able to win. Here's another interesting thing, John, is that for at least a second consecutive week, Tennessee gets an extra day's rest against their Saturday opponent. Because last week, South Carolina played on Wednesday. Auburn plays Georgia, is at Georgia on Wednesday. Keep an eye on whether Okoro is back for that game and whether he'll be back for the Saturday game. But they weren't able to take advantage of it against South Carolina. We'll see if that's an issue for them on Saturday and whether they have one of their better players as well.
So that's an update on how the SEC stands, and that's the SEC Notebook. Again, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. It's available at your favorite local bars and retailers. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Comments from Kelly Harper next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Not so much our job as it is our obsession. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Vince Ferrara pinch-hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we want to make somebody a qualifier for the grand prize and the Coors Light climb to a championship. So right now, we'll take caller number 5 at 656-9467. 656 wins, 656-9467. Caller number 5, you'll be a qualifier, which means you could be the grand prize winner and on your way to Nashville, March 11th through the 15th for the men's basketball tournament. Along with $500 spending money, you'll have 2 all-game passes to take with you along with the $500 spending money. Caller number 5, 656-WINS, 656-9467 for the Coors Light climb to a championship. Yesterday, it was a missed opportunity for the Tennessee Lady Vols as they came up 2 points short against Texas A&M. Here's what Kelly Harper had to say after the loss.
Kelly, before we get to the game, we got to say something about this crowd. It was phenomenal today.
Lady Vols fans, thank you for coming out. It was awesome. It was a great atmosphere to play a big-time game in, and I'm so proud of that, and what an environment.
All right, let's get to the game, and you're going to win one of these games soon. I mean, you need that marquee win, that key win, for nothing else but to show to the team that they can do it. Is that not right?
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, The biggest thing for me, obviously, we go in and we talk about this stat that would have changed the complexion of the game. And those stats were our stats, not Texas A&M stats, but our stats, something that we could have controlled. And so we don't ever excuse losses. Obviously, you talk about that. And then we talked about our effort and one of the best 40 minutes of effort that we've had. And if, you know, you play like that, you've got a chance. You've got a chance against good basketball teams. And obviously we got to close it out. We got to finish it out. You got to play like that and win one. But, you know, you got to keep fighting.
You know, there's a lot of people look at the Texas A&M record and go, well, they're 7-4 in the conference just like we are. They lost 3 games in the conference when Kennedy Carter was out with an ankle injury. That was 3 of their losses. They're a lot better basketball team than maybe what their record shows.
Oh, they're really good. They're really good. They're a veteran team. You know, they have inside presence. They have guards play. They, you know, and then they've got a superstar on top of that. So that's a really, really good basketball team. And we knew we had our hands full coming into this one. You know, obviously it showed.
Kelly, let's talk about a couple of things. Rebounding. You were out-rebounded by LSU on Thursday and face a better rebounding team today with Texas A&M. And if you look down the stats, everybody that played, with the exception of Jessie, and she was only in there for a minute, had rebounds. Everybody was crashing the boards today.
I thought that showed a little bit of effort. I thought our effort was good going to the boards. You know, I thought we were battling. We actually were inside position on a few and just couldn't pull them down. So I thought we were doing what we needed to do. We've talked about it. We've tried to emphasize it as we do. But, you know, it was high time that we changed that stat back around to a positive for us.
You know, you had 16 turnovers, and I know that you always look at the number of maybe extra shots your opponent gets, but you actually had more attempts, 62 to 56 today, despite those turnovers.
Well, you got to take into account the free throws.
Right.
You know, you take into account the free throws, and you're still giving up quite a bit there. But, you know, obviously we fouled too much and throughout the game. You know, you have to foul at the end, but fouled too much throughout the game and put them on the free throw line.
You started Ray Burrell against LSU, and she got in foul trouble. You started her again today, and she got off to a little slow start with a turnover or two, but you stuck with her, and she paid off for you.
Well, she played so hard, and you know we knew we needed that from her in that position, come flying from the wing to get the boards. I thought that was sprinting down here, finishing some baskets. You know, we thought. The LSU game was not exactly it was tough because she got in that foul trouble early on. But, you know, we're trying to make decisions for the good of our team, period.
Renai Davis got untracked and kind of slowed down a little bit until when you need her in the fourth quarter, she helped you out there.
Yeah, you know, we didn't – she's having to take a lot of tough shots. She got in there a few times for some offensive boards and putbacks. Got a couple easy ones, but, you know, she's having to score some tough baskets, and obviously she's able to knock down some outside shots for us.
You know, Jade McCoy gave you some good minutes again today, too. That's like three or four games in a row.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her. I thought she did a good job. You know, just her toughness and her focus. And obviously, I think we, you know, just watching her in practice, she's done a really good job in practice of scoring on the block. So even trying to go down the stretch and get her some touches on the block was a real positive for us.
You know, free throws, you missed 10 free throw attempts. You get beat by 2 points. So you can really look at that and say that cost you the basketball game. But you practice them.
Oh, well, yes.
All the time.
I practice them a lot.
I was at the entire practice on Saturday, and they were – two or three times that you stop practice to shoot free throws.
Right. Obviously, we, you know, we've been, you know, you just got to get out and knock them down in a big game. These players can make free throws. They're college athletes, and they can make free throws. They do it in practice. They do it consistently. So you just got to walk up to the free throw line and be locked in and focused and have a lot of confidence when you're shooting them.
Kelly, it doesn't get any easier. You go on the road against Arkansas, another team that started out the day at 7-4, tied with you in the SEC standings. It would be good if this team played like they did today on Thursday of next week. That would help a lot.
I'll take this team. I'll absolutely take this team. You know, the team that played for us today, I'll take this team to Arkansas and feel good about it. You know, it's easier said than done. Obviously, they were really locked in. And, you know, they expended a lot of not just energy, but a lot of emotional energy. And it's hard, you know, and it's hard to give it all and then get knocked down. But that's what you've got to do. It's what we're asking them to do. Every game gets bigger and bigger. Every game is bigger than the last.
Yeah, we started out the season talking about it being a process. And part of that process is getting that key win against an opponent that's ranked higher than you, maybe higher in the standings than you, and it's going to happen. I can feel it. I can tell by the way they're playing.
Well, thanks, Mickey. I appreciate that.
That make
appreciate
you feel better?
Yeah, yeah, well, Mickey said. Mickey said, y'all. Mickey said.
Well, I'm right most of the time.
I like it.
All right, Kelly, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you again, fans. Thank you again.
All right, Kelly Harper, head coach of the Lady Vols. Texas A&M wins it 73-71.
Comments from Kelly Harper.
She was kidding. Mickey wasn't.
That's a perfect way to paint that.
And Mickey also, always hilarious. He said during the broadcast, he was talking about how the officials, they go to check the replay on certain calls. He's like, you just come over and ask me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him the truth.
Yeah. It wouldn't be near as long a review. Just throw out a big, oh, hell. We just saw the big one.
Somebody said that in worse.
Yeah, in the Daytona 500. And again, if you are recording this, we'll give you a quick second to listen to something else for a quick moment, but I'll say this, Joey Logano, not a popular figure in the world of auto racing right now, as it was a chain reaction. He got into the back of Austin Dillon, who in turn got into the back of Brad Keselowski, and that's what set it off. And Vince, it has greatly impacted the field that will finish, as there are about 15 or so, 16 laps to go.
Yeah, I haven't seen or heard the total tally on cars involved, but it was a big chunk because Logano was sitting there.
Eric Almirola. It was Almirola they got into the back of that then got into the back of Keselowski.
And he was basically on the third row. I mean, they were bunched up. I mean, he was close to the top. Was Logano with Almirola just in front of him in that second group as they were going two by two? And yeah, I mean, it certainly looked like it was on Logano. So we've seen I'm going in my MMA mode.
Yeah,
here.
There you go.
It could very well get to that after the Daytona 500, but post-race skirmishes, we could very well see that again.
Yeah, and what's interesting is you go back to the clash that was last week, and there were some fences that needed to be mended between Logano and teammate Brad Keselowski, and my guess is there are going to be some really raw emotions that come out of this because, again, it's Logano who runs right into the back of the 10 of Almirola, who then goes right into Keselowski, which set everything off.
And Logano skated through.
Skated right through. And here, if you just want the consensus on what the reaction is on Twitter, we'll go with one BJ Davis. Somebody needs to whip Joey Logano's butt. That was 100% his fault, and it happens way too much. He's a moron. And I'll just say this, BJ's thought process has a lot of support right now and in much more saltier language.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, it's we'll see exactly how they get it sorted out, but the big one has happened at the Daytona 500, and they're still trying to get everything cleaned up so they can finish the race with 16 to go. We'll get a break and be back to finish our show as we're with you until 7, producing the facts with Eric Kane from 7 until 8, Vol calls at Calhoun's on the River, and you'll have coaches Barnes and Harper on hand for tonight's program. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Making average people feel more attractive since 1876. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson, Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. We can tell you that after they have sorted out the wreck, 16 laps to go, the field is frozen right now, so they're still doing the cleanup, but Ryan Newman sits in first, followed by Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin. Kevin Harvick, seventh, and Martin Truex Jr. up to 11th, and those are drivers that were having awful days before the big race. But I'll tell you what, it takes something to be in this position, but right now, you got a couple of Houston Astros that are saying, man, I'd hate to be Joey Logano right now.
Yeah, there might be a few curse words sent Mr. Logano's way.
Yeah, as well as some payback. I don't know that Rob Manfred has his back. But anyhow, just a quick couple of things. One, the Lady Vols drop out of the Associated Press poll. Not a big surprise. They would be 29th if you extrapolated beyond the top 25 as they received 5 points in this most recent AP poll. They had dropped out of the coaches poll last week. We'll see whether or not they're still receiving votes as of tomorrow. My guess is possibly not. But Vince, you also have the Southeastern Conference and the Football Power Index. You've got 7 teams in the top 25. Tennessee comes in number 19.
Yeah, how about that? In fact, Tennessee at 19 is the fourth biggest jump in the FPI. That's plus 14, I guess, from where they finished a year ago. Florida State is the biggest jump at plus 28, then Nebraska plus 25, Virginia Tech plus 23, Tennessee plus 14, preseason 19th. And this is where the numbers, the analytics, a lot of the rankings like that really like Tennessee. So I think you're going to see that the SP Plus from Bill Connolly last week had him at 19 also. Mm-hmm. Had him as the seventh best defense in terms of the numbers. And now overall 19th here in the FPI.
Yeah, and the lowest team in the FPI among the Southeastern Conference is Vanderbilt at 81. You've got Arkansas 66, Missouri 53rd, Ole Miss 42nd, Mississippi State 39th, South Carolina 34th, one spot behind Kentucky at 33. Everyone else in the top 20, starting with Tennessee at 19, Auburn 15, LSU 12, Florida 11, Georgia 10, Texas A&M 8, and Alabama 4.
And as usual, plenty of Tennessee opponents in the in the top 15.
Very much so. And now, of course, they're getting everything sorted out and talking with some of those that were involved in the wreck. And don't know what happened, but it was a strong day today for the fill-in-the-blank car. But I think we all know whose fault it is.
Yeah, I saw video, too. Fox missed the big wreck because they were showing Joey Logano bumping Bush and nearly causing another wreck.
Yes.
So they went back to it, which is kind of ironic. But, man, Logano is public enemy number one right now.
And then also a bit of baseball poll history. In the Baseball America Top 25, Michigan beat two of the nation's top three teams in a little more than 24 hours. So the Wolverines are the number one team according to Baseball America. It's the first time they've been number one in that poll, and the first time in 40 years a Big Ten team has been number one. First time ever in Baseball America. Vince Ferrara, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, John.
That does it for Sports Talk. Stay tuned for Producing the Facts.